There was an experiment done by a brother in Christ. What he had done is he went and started counting minutes and hours, you know, and seconds that are in every day of our lives. And he ended up making this really tall tube with a bunch of orange balls in it. He said, these are all the hours that we have throughout every year. And then off to the side, there was a small cup on the ground with four little orange balls in it. And he said, that is how many hours we dedicate to ourselves just about every Sunday. And we got all this time, but we only dedicate so much to God. When I saw that, I realized that time is fragile. I mean, it was just yesterday, you know, I can remember being in kindergarten. And I'm 30. Still young. It's good stuff. It's okay. But many of you can think back to when this occurred, that occurred, like it was yesterday. Time is irrelevant to God. God created time so that man could keep up with himself. Why? Because man needs a God and a parent to teach him how to keep up with himself. If you would, notice Isaiah 55 and verse 1. And then we'll go down to verse 6. Isaiah 55, 1 through 6. Time. Do we have it? First of all, time is as a creation of God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which is satisfied not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make thee an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader, commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation thou shalt knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord your God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Because tomorrow we may never have another opportunity to seek him, because we will not be near a point to seek him. We are not promised tomorrow. We're only promised now because we're here in this moment. Interestingly, though, notice verse 6 puts the initiative on the individual instead of God. Seek you. Right? It's important that we seek God. We first must begin in his word. Time as a creation to God is irrelevant to God because he is not bound by something that he himself created. If I had built a Ford truck, which I cannot do, would I be bound by the laws that keep that truck together? No, I could blow it up, tear it apart, so on. Why? Because I built the truck. So why would God be bound by something that he created? Well, it's impossible. The pattern by which God has given us to define day and night is self-evident. Within the time cycle of day and night, God gave us a literal 24-hour time frame. As a result of Genesis 1:5, we know, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Here you go, man. Here is a measurement of time that you can use to keep up with yourself. Notice, he says, light day, darkness night, evening and morning. These are times of day. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, right? We know that if we come here at 6 o'clock tonight, that it would be appropriate for me to say good morning. No. Why? Because it's not morning time. God had to give man something, a 24-hour time frame between the light of day and the darkness of night, so that man could see his fragile state on this earth. The idea that God had just now, Genesis 1:5, governed time, man would now have an opportunity to see fit that he used his time properly. If God created time, what does that mean in relation to who he is? Well, he extends beyond time. Now think about this for just a moment, okay? You ever seen a heart monitor in a hospital? Beep, beep, right? Imagine that at the top of the beep, you have God. On this end of the line, you have God. On this end of the line, you have God. You know that little beep right there? That's us. We are just a little blip in eternity. And it doesn't relate to God in the sense that he is bound to that time. Therefore, we can truly see how short our lives are. Sure, 100 years is a long time. 960 years, if you would ask Methuselah, he would probably say, it's long, yeah, but it's not eternity. Notice that time itself began in creation. Man did not create time. Man must sleep to maintain proper function. Does God have to sleep? God, what does he require? What does he need? Let's think about it for just a moment. If you have a source of light in this room, say for example the light here, and if you were to put something in front of that light, it would cast a what? A shadow, correct? Does God cast a shadow? No. Why? Because he is the source of light. You see, there is no darkness, not even shadows, when it comes to God, especially time. He is beyond it, and we are bound by it. We're going to look at several verses that will help us to see that God is timeless, and God was before everything. Let us notice a few verses. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 90 and verse 2. Psalm 93 and verse 2. And we'll go back over these. Habakkuk 1:12. Genesis 1:1. John 1:1-2. And as you're turning your Bibles there, notice that since God is timeless, he was before the foundation of the earth itself. He was before land masses, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed thee, the earth and the world, even from everlasting, notice, to everlasting, you are God. Now, if we take those phrases, from everlasting to everlasting, is there a typo? Is the writer confused? Not at all. If we compare the timeline that God is in, since he has no time, he's from literally everlasting, beyond our comprehension, to everlasting that extends past our comprehension. Therefore, why is it that we have such difficulty today worshiping and loving him here in the now? Well, that may be due to the fact that sometimes we misunderstand the importance of our time, and we misunderstand the purpose of our time. Sometimes we tend to misplace our time, and sometimes time does get away from us. However, God has made it possible by his Son for us to see that we are valuable to him, and we are valuable in eternity. Notice Psalm 93 in verse 2. Habakkuk 1:12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Notice how the writer here, Habakkuk, illustrates the importance of the aspect of eternity. He says that, are you not from everlasting, in the sense of a question, O Lord my God, the Holy One? We shall not die. If there is a place that is designed to never age, we too shall never age. We too will never die. We too will be everlasting to everlasting. God has always meant for us to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Why? Because He wants someone to willingly love Him. Just like our children. We want them to willingly love us. When was the last time you walked up to your son or daughter and said, I command you to love me? Sounds pretty bonkers, huh? God would never do that. He only wants us to choose to love Him. Notice Genesis 1:1. We know this verse by heart. In the beginning, what? God. Who? The earth? No. The stars? No. God. God is not bound by time simply because He created it Himself from His throne. Notice John 1:1 through 2 also confirms this same fact. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things that were made, what, were made for Him, by Him. Why is it that man tells God how long he should live? Think about it. I have some books, you know. I have a book that was written in 1960 on how the earth would be destroyed in 1984. Interesting, huh? We're still here, right? Man does not know the time. Therefore, we must understand that we have no responsibility to the extent thereof to tell God how long we should live. We can't tell God anything. Why is it that we want to bring God down to our level when instead we should always try to go to Him and love Him? Is God not the Creator? Did God not appoint a time in which all things will end? Let us trust in Him. Let us love Him. Notice, we can know that God is timeless because of His Word, and we can know that God is trustworthy because of His Word. Therefore, if we can know these two factors, why is it that we abuse sometimes our valuable time? Where do we go from here then? Well, we have to know that God created time, we have to understand the principle of time, and we have to know that God is timeless because He created everything. Secondly, time will be appointed for an end. Notice Mark 13:32 through 33. Jesus understood the importance of time. Question is, how did He understand that importance? Well, if we go to John 1, we know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We learn later on in verse 14 that the Word, what? Became flesh and dwelt among us, right? So Jesus, before the foundation was created, was known as what? The Word. He's always been known as the Word. Now, if I pick up my Bible, am I picking up Jesus? That's not what God's Word teaches. Simply this, that He is the messenger of God who came to earth to give humanity hope because man was walking in darkness, right? As a result of that, Jesus, seeing eternity from eternity, came into that time blip and told us how important it is for us to realize the value of time. Notice Mark 13:32 through 33. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. No man knows the what? Time. The moment. It could be right now. Where would we be? If Jesus didn't understand how fragile time was, then why would he even talk about something such as this? Jesus is literally saying, guys, you have got this much time to be right with my Father. No man knows the day or the hour, but it's going to happen, guys. So why not take that time you have and follow him? Think about it. We have God who created day and night. John 1, 1 through 2 tells us that Jesus has seen all things. So why not take what Jesus has seen and what he's told us and apply it to our lives? Take time as a value. John 1, 14, if we understand the concept that Jesus then was bound by the physical time while he was on earth, he himself had to obey that time that God had created. And as such, we know that, what, 33 A.D., right? That's usually the date that has been suggested, okay? That he would have been roughly 30 years old around that time. But when he left this earth, guess what? That time no longer bound him. He was able again to see on both spectrums. No man knows the time except for my Father. Let us make use of our time. Jesus has warned us over and over, and he has made it a point to us that measurements of time is something that we need. Notice Acts 1, 6 through 7. Acts 1, 6 through 7. The appointed time that everything will end is unknown. However, we know that there are teachings in the world that would try to tell us otherwise. Acts 1, 6 through 7 says this. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. While the apostles and everybody was asking these questions, we also see this in Acts 1. Interestingly, it says that they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Why would they be concerned about a physical kingdom? They wanted to be restored back to everything that David had, back to when things were good for Israel, right? Those who worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth. Right? If we are to take a practical application to that principle, then we can understand and know that we are today's Israel. We today are God's children today because we belong to a heavenly spiritual kingdom. God has always sought out a way to help man understand this principle. We would figure that since many people had been by Jesus' side, that they would have believed everything Jesus had said. Instead, they still questioned him. They would say things such as what we have just read, and on and on. The principle is this: it is not for us to know when the Father will fully restore the kingdom. However, in one way, we do have the kingdom established, and in another way, we also have the kingdom established. In one sense, true, the body, the church of Christ, is a part of the kingdom. And also, heaven is the kingdom of God. That's his dwelling place. But if you look at the space in between, guess what? You're not missing anything. That's everything in between. That means that the entire universe belongs to God, not just one specific place on earth. But the entire universe is included in God's kingdom. Because what? The earth is his footstool, right? Notice that if man would simply see the love of God through his Son and the application of time, then man could see his fragile state. The spiritual Israel today is and always will be those who are obedient to the Bible, those who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. If we want to follow God, all we must do is to look in his word. Galatians 6:15 through 16. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. We are not a physical kingdom, but spiritual. We have to see that we are beyond importance to God. God sacrificed his only Son to show us this principle. Thirdly, this morning, let us understand time. Let us make proper use of it. Notice a few verses, Isaiah 55:6-7. That was our primary text this morning. Psalm 95:7-8. Psalm 95:7-8. Also, Ephesians 5:15-17. We will go back over these verses. Isaiah 55:6-7. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Call while he is near. If we pass from this life to the next, we will not have an opportunity to call. We will not have a chance to seek. Why? Because we only have now. Think about it. If we look at the rich man and Lazarus, what does he tell Abraham? Abraham, send someone from the dead so that my five brothers may not come to this place. What did Abraham say? If they're not going to hear Moses and the prophets, then they're not going to hear anyone who rose from the dead. And that is exactly what happened. Jesus rose from the dead. People still today choose not to listen to him. If we are willing today to hear the gospel and to understand it, then we can understand the purpose of the gospel. Notice what Psalm 95:7-8 says, okay? Turn your Bibles there if you would, please. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Now, we were never in the wilderness. However, the old law is for what? Admonition and learning, practical application, learn from history. Harden not our hearts. As a result of the fragile nature of time, let us not harden our hearts because we do not want to pass from this life. Let us understand that God is life, and that we can be with him and attain true life now and forever. You see, when we try to bring God down to our level, we miss the purpose of eternity. The purpose of eternity is to make sure that we will forever love him and worship him all the days of our lives. If we do not enjoy worshiping God now, what makes us think we'll enjoy worshiping him then? Is that not what we will be doing in heaven, is worshiping God? Then we should always be joyful when we have the time, you see, to worship God. Why? Because one day we will be doing it forever. All we have is now. If we've never been given an opportunity to follow him, we will have one today. Notice also Ephesians. Ephesians 5:15-17. Let us make the most of our God-given opportunities. God has given us another day to wake up. God has given us another day to breathe oxygen. God has given us another day to choose to love Him. Let us make proper use of that. Notice, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and what is God's will, that every man will come to repentance. Right? God has given us the fragile time that we have just so that we can choose to follow Him. And at times I feel as if I am unworthy of that time. However, I am eternally grateful for that time. Why? Because He loves me. And He loves you too. If there is a time in our lives that we should consider important, let us consider every time we have to worship God and love Him to be of the utmost importance. God wants us to be wise and understanding who He is. Take advantage of the time that we have today and understand time is just ticking away. We are not promised tomorrow. We are only promised now. If Jesus were to return right now, where would we be? Would we be able to say, Father, I'm ready to come home. Lord and Savior, please help me to go with You. Or be as the rich man, opening our eyes, being in torments, thirsting. It's only the blink of an eye, is it not? That's instantaneous. There's not going to be this long line from earth to heaven and everybody's waiting on a checklist. Our God is a mighty God. Can He not judge in an instant? Sure. And that is exactly what will happen. That is why Jesus said, hey guys, no man knows the time, so take advantage of what you have now. Because I've seen both ends of time, which is why I'm going to die for you. For God sent His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. John 3:17. Might. That means that we have a choice right now to love God and to put Him on in baptism if we've never done so. If there's anyone here this morning and you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, please consider the words of our Lord. Mark 16:16 says, he and or she that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I got to be honest with you folks. If I found out somehow, some way, that there was no God, I honestly do not think I could live another moment on this earth. I need Jesus to live on this earth, and I need Him in heaven as well. I don't need Him just in the hard times, but I always need Him. Why? Because He is a part of who I am. We likewise should all be a part of who He is. If we are a child of God, and if we are following God and we love God, have we eschewed our time? Have we pushed it to the side? Have we said, well, God, I don't have much time for You today? Again, we do not know. If there's ever been a time in our lives, it's right now. Jesus is calling. This is the gospel call. Remember in our Bible class? He who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. But he who hears my words and does not do them, I will liken him unto a foolish man. That's what Jesus said. So where do we stand today? Do we stand as God's children, trying our best to take the time we have to love Him? And or are we a sinner? and we are throwing away our time as if it were nothing. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, we encourage you to consider the evidence that's been set before you, and or if you're a brother and sister, please, let us help one another. We love you. We want to help you and encourage you and rally around you and lift you up. Why? Because Jesus died for you. And you saw that. And you became God's child. And you responded. Why is it that we stop that forward motion after baptism? Let us continue going forward, pushing towards the goal, as Paul said. If there's anyone here this morning and you're subject to the invitation and or baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of